Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for our weekly Powering Your Property Asia segment. But this week, we're traveling a little bit further, and we're heading all the way to the UK. And that's because the UK recently announced a temporary holiday on stamp duty on the first £500,000 of all property sales in England and Northern Ireland. This in an effort to boost the property market and help buyers amid the current COVID-19 crisis. Now, while this may be tempting for some international property investors, it is important to understand tax law when investing overseas and how that relates to your true ROI. Now, to help us get a better understanding of the current UK property and tax landscape, we're joined today by Rachel Ho, and she's the Assistant Manager at Residential Services for Savills Singapore. We've also got with us on the line, dialing in all the way from the UK, Fiona Poole, partner at legal firm Morris Turner Gardner. Thank you both for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So Rachel, perhaps you can start off and paint a picture for us. What's happening in the property market in the UK at the moment?
So what we know in the London housing market, for effectively 7.5 weeks from 23rd of March to 13th of May, it was effectively in a lockdown. So transaction activity over this period was severely suppressed. So however, since the reopening, the prime London market has seen a significant recovery in activity levels. So this may be due to the pent-up demand from the lockdown. However, there are also two more driving factors for this increase in activity, especially amongst foreign buyers. So I think first and foremost, in fact, not more than 2 weeks ago, the UK government has announced that they are offering a stamp duty holiday on the first £500,000 on a property until the end of March next year. There's also a second point, which is the Chancellor also announced that the British Overseas National Passport holders in Hong Kong, in the first full week since the Chancellor announced a stamp duty land tax holiday in England and Northern Ireland, the number of sales agreed across the whole of UK housing market has increased by 4.3%. to levels 52% higher than the same period last year. So this is according to the data from 20CI.
Okay, and which areas are we seeing demand? I mean, earlier you mentioned the core central London region. Any other areas?
For the areas that are seeing demand, will always be prime central London, zone 1 and 2. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the zoning in London, we can always equate it to the different districts in Singapore. So our zone 1 and 2 in London is most similar to district 9 and 10 here in Singapore. In fact, for foreign investors, I most often get queries for Canary Wharf, which is located in Zone 2 of London. So that being also said, apart from the demand in these two areas, sometimes outside of these zones, we are seeing demand as well. So this is equated to maybe if the development is located in the commute belt, so near transport links, such as the tube station or Crossrail. So this will help as well. And also sometimes if the entry price is pretty decent, so this will attract buyers to buy into areas in the outer areas of London.
Okay, so Rachel, talk to me about pricing. What's the outlook for pricing and where does it look attractive? Where's holding value for would-be investors at the moment?
According to our Savills UK research, there is a positive 0.6% in the annual price movement across prime London housing markets. So why is this so? I think this can be attributed to the pent-up demand during lockdown. So this is reported by 71% of London agents seeing more buyers wanting to upsize. So many people are now reassessing their housing needs. Since with the experience of lockdown and the working from home, what it means is more people are wanting an increase in inside and outside space. So in terms of this, for investors, I might suggest that they would want to consider buying an apartment with a comfortable and generous balcony space, or maybe even at developments near parks and open public spaces. So this will entice the local tenants to rent their units as compared to others available out there.
Okay, I'm going to cross over to Fiona now. And Fiona, maybe you can tell us, what are some of the legal areas overseas buyers need to be mindful of when eyeing a property in the UK?
Well, Rachel, a couple of the legal areas that any buyer would need to be mindful of when looking at property in the UK are both the type of property that they're buying and how they're going to own it. This is other than tax, which I think we'll probably touch on a bit in a moment. But the sorts of properties you can buy in the UK tend to be either freehold or leasehold, so basically houses or apartments. And for leasehold properties, they can be a bit trickier than freehold, because rather than owning the entire building, you own your part of the building subject to the terms of a lease. So those leases are an interest in land, and often you'll see them all the way up to 999 years in length. But in prime central London, you're more likely to see leases of around 90 years or less.
Is it possible to extend those leases?
It is possible to extend those leases to account for a longer period of time. And it is actually advisable to do that if they drop below 80 years, because it can damage the value of the property interest.
So Fiona, maybe you can tell us, what about property tax for overseas owners?
Well, there's quite a long answer to a short question, but I'll try to keep it summarised as much as I can. Tell you what, I will run through the taxes that apply to both UK and overseas owners, and I'll identify some of the differences.
Okay, let's start there.
So if I start off, the first tax that one will encounter is stamp duty land tax, or SDLT, which is the transactional tax on acquiring a property. And I'll come back and give you a bit of an update on that in a sec. The second is an ownership tax for properties that are owned by companies. And that is tax called the annual tax on enveloped dwellings, or ATED for short. Now, if you have a rental property, you'll be receiving rental receipts. And so those will be taxed as income. And how they're taxed depends on whether there's a company that owns the property, so corporation tax applies, or whether an individual owns the property, so income tax applies. There's also then a disposal tax, capital gains tax, or specifically non-resident capital gains tax, if there's either a gift or a sale of a property. And finally, there is a death tax, our inheritance tax.
Right, so quite a bit to wade through, but maybe you can tell us a little bit more about this stamp duty land tax.
So our Chancellor Rishi Sunak announced at the beginning of this month, on the 8th of July, that from the 8th of July up until the 1st of April next year, in 2021, that the 0% threshold for stamp duty land tax to start applying will be raised from £125,000 to £500,000.
So what does that mean for buyers?
Anybody buying a property over £500,000 was immediately going to be saving about £15,000 in stamp duty land tax. Now, our stamp duty land tax operates on a banding scale, and so effectively he's cut out a 2% rate and some of a 5% rate between that.
Okay, but what does that mean for overseas investors?
It does mean that there can be quite a large saving, particularly for overseas investors, up until the 1st of April next year.
So what'll happen after the 1st of April?
Now, after the 1st of April next year, the lower threshold is going to come back down again to 125,000. There will be an additional 2% for overseas owners of UK property. I mean, if I take an example of, let's say, a property of £2 million sterling, if you were to buy that property now, the stamp duty land tax would be £198,750. If you were to buy that property on the 1st of April next year, the stamp duty would be £253,750. So effectively, that's a £55,000 saving to complete your property purchase on or before the 31st of March next year. So that's quite an incentive. And the reason that our Chancellor introduced the holiday was to boost the economy, boost construction, boost sales of property, and help move us towards our phase of rebuild in the current pandemic.
Well, thank you so much, Fiona, for giving us an update on that. And Rachel as well, thank you both for joining us today. We've been speaking with Rachel Ho, Assistant Manager, Residential Services at Savills Singapore, and Fiona Poole, who's a partner at legal firm Morris Turner Gardner in the UK. And they've been giving us an update on the latest out of the UK property market, along with an update on that stamp duty holiday. You're listening to Money FM 89.3, Singapore's most influential radio station.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg
or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.